I'm going to be talking about a really difficult subject. There's a dark side to what we'll discuss, but there's always, when there's darkness, there's light. Light in men that are willing to hear a little bit and to know something that at the end of the day you can't unknow, and you get to decide what you're going to do, if anything, and it may be just prayer, because we need that to continue the fight that we're having when it comes to trafficking, the selling of human beings, children, girls from every single community, that men buying girls to have relations with. And the number one destination where that takes place is in our great country. And I'll show you why that is so, or at least some factors that identify why that's so. First, I'm going to tell you a little bit about who we are. As Reverend Tuckle mentioned, I am with New Friends, New Life. It is true. I am the only male on our workforce. I heard no ahs, no sad sounds coming from you guys, and I should have gotten at least one. Does anyone here work with an all-female staff? You all, like I said, continue to pray for me. They are incredible professionals. We have clinicals, psychologists on staff, caseworkers, social workers, women who are who have amazed me, quite frankly, in their dedication and skill, the intellect that they bring to this fight. I'm the novice. I had no idea that I would end up here. As Reverend Tuggle mentioned, I had 30 years in banking, Federal Reserve executive, general auditor, and decided it was time for something else in my life. Took a couple of years off, did pro bono work, and found this organization and developed the concept that I'm now responsible for, which is Men's Advocacy Group. So before I came on board, it was an all-female organization, and the issue that we're going to be talking about was looked at as a women's issue. But we changed that because it's a humanitarian issue, and men drive the issue. Without the demand from men, there would be no need for the supply of girls and women to be bought. And so 2015, I joined officially and created this organization, again, Men's Advocacy Group. And we are now 50 men. With a board of directors, and we seek to do those things that you see up top. We try to engage men and young men, boys, as much as we can. I spoke to 250 young men last week in the Richardson High School District, having real conversations about things, about the words that you use, how they develop into attitudes that you have, which roll into behaviors that you execute, and helping them to see the connection that, no, none of these boys grew up, just like none of you all will grow up, wake up, and decide to buy women. It doesn't just happen that way. It's 1,000 tiny steps. It's this picture that began with a pixel over here. You're calling them, and we're going to hear some of those words. And some of the words that the boys would shared with me, that they say in the hallways, what they refer to the girls as. And it's some words I didn't know, but it was also some words I'd used before. And I didn't know what they now know at that age, and that is, those aren't innocent. You think that's cool, but they're getting inside of you where a holy place is supposed to be, where your spirit is, and it's trying to crowd that out and to have you thinking that she is nothing but an object. And when you start to allow that to build inside of you, What happens next is you treat her like an object. And the Lord created us to have wonderful relationships with a woman. We're sexual creatures. There's nothing wrong with that. That's how we were created. But not to be perverted, which is what this issue is. So the conversations with them will be similar to what we have here, because they're young men, but they're coming your way. And there are things that you can do. And the conversations we'll have today will be everyone's fathers, right? This is a dad's. You guys are a bit younger, so I'd imagine you all have your children in your home. Mine are outside of out of my home now. But we're fathers. We'll never stop being fathers. They'll leave your home, but you will never stop protecting them. You'll never stop. That's a blessing in my... I've had many people say, boy, I'm glad my kids are gone. Not me. Mine are 25, 21, and I want them back. Well, not the boy. He's got a devastating appetite. But I want my little girl back, where I can make sure that I can do what we were born to do as men. We're protectors. Would that be fair to say? I mean, men, the family is as strong as the man in the family. Is that a fair statement? Would you agree? Yeah. We were born, we were created to protect her. Now, not that she's defenseless, that she's not capable. That's not it. That's not taking nothing away from her, but we were the ones that were put together to have strength, to be able to move bricks and rocks and soil. That's providing, protecting. But something has gone wrong. So our men's group, we work, we advocate, we go out and speak. Whoever will listen to us, we will talk about this. We're non-critical. We don't point fingers. Look, none of us are perfect either. And some of the things I talk about, I've done them. I didn't know the damage they've created, but now I know, and I can't unknow it. Can't unknow it. We have corporate engagement where we are asking organizations to join us to be a part of what we call a no harm network. You've got policies, if you're not careful, can lead to things, or at least make them available to your employees, that don't discourage them from having bad behaviors in the workplace. Here's a fact, and let me know if anyone knows this, but online porn viewing, 78% of online porn viewing takes place between 9 and 5. That a familiar time frame? 78%, that's in the U.S., cost estimated $17 billion to corporations of lost productivity every year. From 9 to 5, almost 80% of online porn viewing takes place. And in legislation, we've worked with Senator Cornyn, Tan Parker, a number of congressmen, state and federal, to enact some legislation and to modify some other statutes. But what I've been talking about, there's a problem. Human trafficking, specifically sex trafficking. You've probably seen on the news more and more of recent times, a lot more in the press about human trafficking. I think you guys probably know Ashton Kutcher. He testified in front of Congress yesterday, and he'll be here as our guest at our luncheon in May. He has an organization called Thorn. 6,000 children he saved. He is far more than an actor. He started this organization, and it's an incredible organization. But 6,000 children he's pulled from the horrors of being exploited, trafficked, being bought by men. Yesterday, he had he tears in his eyes when he actually went on a sting and witnessed the man on this child. I believe she was 6. On this child. I've been doing this for a while, and it still eats at me. I keep thinking that I can get used to this, and I just can't. I don't know how to do it. So apologies. This thing, sex trafficking, it's a commercial act. It is the process of one individual by fraud, by threat, by coercion, convincing another that they have to service a person. It can be a woman, but that woman, that's rare. That they have to service this person for income that they do not get to keep. That's as simple as it is. They're lied to, threatened, fooled into doing this. And many people I talk with say, well, you know, that's awful. Of course, it couldn't happen with my children, with my family. That's what, when people are rescued, their parents always say, can't believe. You never think it would touch you. But I'm going to show you how ugly this thing is and that it goes everywhere, which is why we as fathers have to be on alert, have to be aware, because we can do something to protect our own and therefore protect some others. Boys and girls, we'll talk about that. Here's how this works. It's a three-man proposition. So you've got a buyer. That's me and you. You've got a buyer. I was having fun with my marker. I just got this yesterday. I wanted to play with it today, but you guys can see that right there. Yeah? So I can keep playing with it. Is that right? It all starts with the buyer. You guys are businessmen. We know free enterprise. We know that if there's a demand for something, a supply will be created. We drive the market. Men's perverted sexual desires. Then there's someone that is willing to create the supply. Trafficker, we call them pimps. That's what they are. I think trafficker is too nice a name. They're pimps. They're sellers of human beings. Slave owners. That's what they are. Willing to do it. And we are inundated with them in this city. And then the victim. The victim, the child, the boy, which is growing. The supply of boys is growing because of the perversion of men who are more and more wanting to sleep with boys. It's real. I missed the time when I was naive to this 3 years ago. I miss it. I didn't like knowing this. I remember watching, you guys know who Brad Pitt is, right? I mean, you look at me, obviously you think Brad Pitt. I look just, but in his movie, Troy, anybody ever seen Troy? One of the things he said that struck me, and I talk about this, he said, we men are wretched things. And look at what we can sometimes do. All the great we can do, but the harm that we can do, yes, we can be wretched things. And it's primarily men who are satisfying other men with these women and boys. So how do they do it? How can they get that supply? Well, it's easier now than it's ever been. You can see the number one way they get through. This is how they get into your home. Because if you have a child that's a teenager or even close to, they are on social network. You can find all, you can look it up. You'll see the studies and show how that's their number one way in. And it'd be great to think that, well, my kid's well adjusted, et cetera. But you know, just like your parents didn't know everything about what you were thinking and doing and how you were feeling, you don't. Things that happened at school when the boy said something and they're just hurting inside. And just as I, when talking with 250-odd boys last week, you can hurt our self-esteem just by these words you use. And those can evolve into devastating things for her which would be devastating things for their family. But social network, cell phones, they have apps. These people have apps that they can fool the kids into grabbing and can't get out of it because they are masters at manipulation. Masters. I work with a gentleman on our board, Major Jeff Williams, State Police, and Phil Campbell from Homeland Security. We work, they're members of our men's group, and one of them being on our board. He was sharing with me, he'd just come from a sting downtown off of Stemmons at a prominent hotel in Stemmons. They had posted, got a 13-year-old girl for sale. In 9 seconds, they got the first call from posting. 9 seconds. But in 2 hours and 15 minutes, he had 283 men. He had to shut, he had 12 agents on staff, couldn't keep up, had to shut it down. Our city, 283 men, wanted a 13-year-old girl, thought that that's what they were getting. I remember him telling me that the last one, they were wrapping up and call came in from Frisco and a guy was talking it. And he said, hold it, guys. He ain't going home today. We're going to wait for him. And he drove on down just like they expected and his family is torn up. And interviewing those people, the major tells me, they never thought that they would be doing what they're doing, but they're doing it. They knew it was wrong, but they just, and they got to get help. So sometimes when we run into guys, we can pick up something wrong. Maybe it's pornography, but it starts with that. It doesn't always end up buying if it starts with pornography, but pornography can devastate a family. Home and neighborhoods, they'll go into them. They don't stay in their own neighborhoods. They come to yours. And many people think that they look a certain way. They look just like you and me. Both the buyer and the seller look just like you and me. Clubs and bars, I don't expect your 10-year-old would have to worry about that one. But internet and school, they actually will, once they grab the minds of some of the kids, they will have them recruiting other kids. Got numerous cases of that being evident in nice schools, including private schools. Unbelievable. These guys are master manipulators. And they promise them all these things. Hey, I'll give you protection. When someone's hurting inside and any self-esteem is low, they'll fall for these things. That's what kids do. They make mistakes. And what these guys like to do, give one more example. As the major tells me, he's taken one of his first cases. They find a 15-year-old girl, rescue her, take her home. He's taking her home and pulls up to the house. And it's a $1 million home. He goes in to find out that the dad's a doctor, mother an anesthesiologist. What happened was she was in the mall. She had a little self-esteem issue. And the guy recognized it. They can pick it up. Talked to her. Backed off for about a month or so. But then they started communicating online. Took it real easy. Was a 6-week process with her. One day they were communicating. And she said she was hungry. He said, I sent over a pizza. Don't worry about it. You and your girlfriend can enjoy the pizza. I'll take care of it. What's the address? Sends the pizza over. Doesn't come over. Leaves it alone. 2 weeks later, hey, what are you doing? Hey, now he's befriended her. She is feeling the care, feeling he's made these promises. Goes out, just picks her up. I'll take you to the mall if you want to go. Gets her in the vehicle, strips her of her clothes, takes the picture and say, here's what you're going to do for me. Otherwise, your mom and daddy are going to get this. And I'm sending it through, posting it on Facebook and at your school. So you're going to service these 12 men I got lined up. True story. It goes into everybody's house. She had, and she felt she had, she couldn't do that to her parents. Average age. Average age where this happens looks like that. Unimaginable proportions. $150 billion enterprise, this illegal sex trade is. I'm sorry, the human trafficking trade is, with $99 billion of it being sex. Now, you see the numbers in parentheses. Those numbers represent the number of individuals involved with it, the number of people being trafficked. Notice the disparity. 51 million, but almost 21 million individuals being in labor trafficking. 99 billion, but 4.5 million. That's what I referred to earlier. It's profitable. This is the most profitable. Each girl is worth about $80,000. That's the income that pimp will make off of her. That's how that number translates close to. It's profitable to bring them here, and it's profitable to have them here. I'm not talking about foreign-born. I'm talking about United States children. Now let's bring it to Texas. 79,000 minors and youth are victims of sex trafficking in Texas. 79,000. Can you imagine? 79,000. How many schools that fills up? Costs Texas $6.6 billion every year because of the care, the mental, physical costs that are trying to help a recovered child get their life back. Incredible, incredible numbers. But right here, Dallas, $99 million. $99 million enterprise, and that's a conservative estimate. 400 teen girls were on Dallas streets last night. Not Sri Lanka someplace. Dallas, Texas, 400. We work with Dallas police, we know. And Texas ranks number two in the country and working its way to number one. I bet you can guess who's number one. California. And nobody wants to outdo California on anything. Anything. I mean, my daughter's in studying music in Hollywood. And it was the hardest thing for me to let we raise her to be independent, to think, to do what she wants, follow her dreams. And then she says, well, my dream's in California. Like, well, wait a minute, I didn't mean that. But there she is. Texas ranks number two. This is U.S. children here. Look at all three of those stadiums. Some of you guys have been in those stadiums. Texas Motor Speedway, which is incredible. Been out in Arlington at Jerry's World and right where the Super Bowl was held. All those people you can see, you can fill those up and still can't come back to the 300,000 U.S. children that are at risk of being sold. That's in addition to the 100,000 that are being sold. That are being sold. Whose children are they? They're comprised of a lot of children whose parents thought it never happened. I won't go through this in detail, but it starts, this type of thing starts very early, most often. Not always. There are different things. And some of the women that are out there, they chose to be out there. But studies show that 95% did not choose it. There was a way in, and it was typically from some type of abuse. But I'm not going to go in that because we're running out of time. How could we get to this place? We were created to be wonderful, you know, to be spiritual, to be good, to protect, to love. That's what we were created to do. How did we drift so far to the left. How did we? Well, I want to show a video. It's only 5 minutes. This is the same video I show young men, so we can handle it, I think. Because I will tell you in all candor, when I found this video, I was in Starbucks one Saturday morning searching for, got to have a video that I could connect with boys, and I ran into this one. It's called Dear Daddy. My daughter is 21. My son's 25. And I was like a baby when I left that. I had to get up and go. This struck me so deep. I heard some of the things that I'd said before, the things that I've heard others say, didn't do anything about, and because I didn't know. I should have known. Don't get any pass. But now that I've watched it, now I know I know. Now there is no excuse, and I get to choose. Something that most of those children, all of those children, and most of those women don't get to do. They don't get to choose. We as men, though, we got some choices. So this video, we're going to take 5 minutes, and then we're going to just talk just briefly about it and then do Q&A. And if you'd bear with me, but this young lady is going to be talking to you. And I'll just stop talking. Brian.
Dear Daddy, I just wanted to thank you for looking after me so well, even though I'm not yet born. I know you already try harder than Superman. You won't even let Mommy eat sushi. But I need to ask you a favor. Warning. It's about boys. Because, you see, I will be born a girl. Which means that by the time I'm 14, the boys in my class will have called me a whore, a bitch, a cunt, and many other things. It's just for fun, of course. Something boys do. So you won't worry. And I understand that. Perhaps you did the same when you were young, trying to impress some of the other boys. I'm sure you didn't mean anything by it. Still, some of the people won't get the joke. And funnily enough, it isn't any of the girls. It's some of the boys. So by the time I turn 16, a couple of the boys will have snuck their hands down my pants while I'm so drunk I can't even stand straight. And although I say no, they just laugh. It's funny, right? If you saw me, Daddy, you would be so ashamed. Because I'm wasted. No wonder I'm raped when I'm 21. 21 and on my way home in a taxi driven by the son of a guy you went swimming with every Wednesday. The guy who always told insulting jokes, but they were, of course, only jokes, so you laughed. Had you known that his son would end up raping me, you would have told him to get a grip. But how could you know? He was just a boy, telling weird jokes, and in any case, it wasn't your business. You were just being nice. But his son, raised on these jokes, becomes my business. Then finally, I meet Mr. Perfect. And you're so happy for me, Daddy, because he really adores me. And he's smart, with a great job, and all through the winter he goes cross-country skiing 3 times a week, just like you. But one day he stops being Mr. Perfect, and I don't know why. Wait, am I overreacting? One thing I do know, I'm not the victim type. I'm raised to be a strong and independent woman. But one night it's just all too much for him, with work and the in-laws and the wedding coming up. So he calls me a whore, just like you called a girl in middle school a whore once. Then another day, he hits me. I mean, I'm way out of line. I can really be a bitch sometimes. But we're still the world's greatest couple, and I'm so confused because I love him and I hate him, and I'm not sure if I really did do something wrong. And then one day he almost kills me. It all goes black. Even though I have a PhD, a fantastic job, I'm loved by my friends and family, I'm well brought up, and nobody saw this coming. Dear Daddy, this is the favor I want to ask. One thing always leads to another. So please stop it before it gets the chance to begin. Don't let my brothers call girls whores, because they're not. And one day some little boy might think it's true. Don't accept insulting jokes from weird guys by the pool, or even friends. Because behind every joke, there is always some truth. Dear Daddy, I know you will protect me from lions, tigers, guns, cars, and even sushi without even thinking about the danger to your own life. But dear Daddy, I will be born a girl. Please do everything you can so that that won't stay the greatest danger of all.
I've seen that video 40, 50 times. I think it's my hormones. I think I'm 55. I think I'm losing my home. It hits me the same, like a ton of bricks every time. Anybody have any particular reaction to this video they'd like to share? Any of the things that she mentioned that boys do resonate, that it's believable, that those words that are just thrown about. Did you see how that pixel started with those words and ended up with him around her neck? He didn't just do that. It started, and that was her whole point, right? So it gives us as fathers a great opportunity to talk to our boys, to respect them, to respect women with their words and actions. And then it, as fathers, reminds us that we have to be vigilant with our girls. You remember she said that she was raised to be independent and strong, had an incredible career. You can't see it by those things. We typically default to it, say, but they're doing great. But you don't know what's inside and what boys and eventually men can do, because we can be wretched things. And so it's worth taking the time, reinforcing her self-esteem, letting her know that she is somebody incredible. Those are very important, according to psychologists, to help young women avoid the trap that these masterminds perpetrate. So what do we do? It starts with things like today, and many of you all probably knew more today than when you came in than some, but to understand what this issue is, sex abuse and trafficking, and how much it's permeated our society, and how devastating it can be to our children, because it can devastate mom and dad. It can devastate, and we are men, dads, as the families as strong as we are. Understanding. Don't be naive. I admit, I told you before, what I know now, I wish I didn't know. Because it's ugly to know it. But now that I know it, I realize I can be a better person. I thought I was a good person. And I think I was. But I had some fragments that needed to be dropped, needed to be fixed. And I asked, good Lord, help me. And he did. You got a collection of men who come together. If you've got an issue, find someone that you trust and talk to Reverend Tuggle. Talk to someone and just, hey, I'm struggling with this because it's not uncommon. Look, our society is a sexualized society. We know it. You can't turn on the TV and see a hamburger commercial without three scantily clad, beautiful girls moving and saying, let's have a three-way. Oh, you thought I was talking. What were you thinking of? Y'all seen that commercial? What did you think I was talking? Come on, a hamburger. So it's hard for our boys. It's hard for us. But hard just isn't enough reason not to do something. Because a life is in the balance. His, hers, and you love him or her, so it's yours. So we have to be aware. We can't convince ourselves it couldn't happen to us. That young lady sure seemed well adjusted. We're protectors. We need to know what's going on the right way. There's ways to do it, but the right way. Know who they're hanging out with. Because as I told you, these guys plant kids. It's hard to believe that another kid who's being abused, being used this way, would go and get more as horrible as it is, but they don't self-identify. You can talk to any psychologist. They don't identify as being victims. And that guy is outstanding at brainwashing these kids. They're kids. And they think they might get a break if he brings them more. Smartphones, easy access. Watch those things. Inspect activities. Just what doesn't sound right probably isn't right. What they're doing on the internet, if you know their codes or not, why can't you not know their codes? You have to understand. Maybe there's a reason. You should know what it is, why you can't access what they access. What would they have to hide? Internet etiquette, it's just doing it the right way when getting on. But most important for dads, living by examples. This is how you treat a woman. This is how boys talk and look towards and act towards. That's the most powerful on the list, at least, that I believe that we as dads, we as men can do, is not to simply talk about it, but demonstrate it. My father used to tell me, don't do what I say, you do what I do. I modified it as I got older with my boy and said, you do what I say because that's what I'm going to do. You watch me. And I mean that. I'm not making that up. That's what I raised my boy, which is why, I think he's a great kid because of his mother, and I didn't ruin it. But he'll tell you how many times he's heard that. How you treat women. My father drilled in me. They are a blessing from Christ. They are good things. And if you are bold enough to take a blessing from Christ and turn it to a bad thing, as he would say, whoa, boy, there's a day coming that you ain't gonna like. He always called me boy. I was his namesake. I don't think he knew my name. 42 years old, boy, come here. Daddy, I actually asked him, do you know my name? Did you know you named me? My name, your name, did you know? Yeah, boy, come on. Last thing. What is this joint movement? Movement in your own house. There are ways to do all sorts of movement. Yes, we have something going on at New Friends of Life with our men's advocacy group. We'd love for you to support us, but that ain't what you have to do. All you have to do is to join this movement is to love your family enough that you won't turn away from this issue. Don't let it get into your house. Don't let your boy make those jokes. Don't do them. Don't accept them when you hear them. You don't have to say, stop that. You don't have to be holier than thou, as they say, to others. You can just say, look, you may not know something. I learned something, and share it. We don't have to point a finger or make anybody feel bad. One of the pastors on our board said, you know, let me just tell you something. 95% of my members, my congregation, it's a large congregation, watch porn. And the other 5% are lying. We can't deny some of the things, but we can do something. Be more vigilant in understanding that it can wreck some things, and we can work on some of those things. But more important, you think your kids don't know as they get older, when they get to those teens? You actually think you can outsmart them? Could your folks outsmart you? I mean, let me just tell you, I know you guys are young, but when you get older, something happens. You convince yourself you know a whole bunch of stuff that you don't. I don't know when I got dumb, but I got there. Okay? They know. They know. And so you might have it locked up and in the closet, but they have a way to get in there and see and get back out before you. It's incredible. So be part of movement. I've left some materials for you that I hope you'll take. They're out at the desk. And one is 10 ways parents can prevent and identify human trafficking. We talked about some of them. But take a look at it. Some are really easy to do. And that's how you can get involved. And then there's another that talks about, from the child's perspective, how it could happen to them. You reading this and take an understanding from their seat that things like this can happen. I hope you'll take a look at those. And if for any reason you find that you're part of an organization that you'd want to share this with, you call me and I'll get them to you. I'll drive them to you however you need it. I'll get them to you. No, there's no charge, but I'll get it because this is a human rights issue. We are men. We are protectors. We can be wretched things, but we can be godly things. We can be good things. And that's the light. You all are here because you're good men. You all know the saying from Edmund Burke, all it takes for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. That's been never been more true than today. Good men can't do nothing. We just can't. We don't need to be perfect men, because we're not going to get there. But we can do better for our children, for our family, for our community, for our good Lord. So I've taken up enough of yours time. I intended to have a Q&A, and I'm 3 minutes past, so I've goofed. I apologize. I do this all the time. I have the biggest mouth in the county. I get on the subject, and I don't know when to shut up. So I apologize to you for that. But if there's one or two questions, maybe, you have for me, I try to answer them, or I can stay after, and you can visit with me as long as you would like, as long as you would like. My card's outside. If you want to call me later on, call me. I'm going to make it, just reference that we were here, and I'll make sure I make it a priority. Is there anything I can answer for anyone?
So new friends in your life, after you guys help save, or say you save a woman out of the trade, so do you guys help rehabilitate, and do you help place her in a home, or witness protection, or what's that look like?
Our whole process is, this is a woman that has determined she can't survive in this environment anymore. They are brainwashed. Lots happens, but when they get to us, they begin to get counseling to help us figure out what really is their need. It's a long process that we're with them, 2.5, maybe 3 years, where they are having mental, physical care, all the things that as a result of our psychologists giving the analysis of what they need to get them to a stable physical, mental state. In the process, we know that they may need housing. Then we'll fund that. If we can get them a job, we have a program called Second Chance Jobs. We work with organizations around the community that will hire the women, because you and I know you cannot be stable without household income. You can't do it. You will make bad choices. So we know that. And so we don't hand them money. That wouldn't be prudent. It wouldn't be good stewards of us. But they earn it by attending the courses, attending Bible study, going through their physicals, making sure that they're drug-free. We test them routine. Those things, because they come from a horrible life, and that's what they've known, and it's you can slip back to it. We've got some incredible examples of women who've made it through, but we help in all aspects, and if we can't, we work with other agencies, and which we sometimes do have to refer them. Like if they've got a really bad drug problem but want to get out, we can't help you with the drug problem. We're not experts at that. We send you there. Once they say you're good, you come back. If there's law enforcement needed, we're close with them. They'll call us and say, I've got someone, I need to bring them to you guys. Or we'll call and say, she's staying, that the pimp is after her, what can you do? Those type of things. So it's an I got to say, I never imagined I would work in an organization that did such incredible things. I'm a banker. And I got to tell you, there are some days I go in and I want to go back to banking. I want to be naive again. Because I think I can't watch that video and not think of my daughter. I can't do it. She's 21 and I think she's brilliant. But is there a guy whose cousin I talked to that I even joked with that is a part of the pattern that developed into him that he's moved out to California and he's going to meet my daughter? Boy, I've been dealing with the guilt a little bit. But did I answer your question?
Yes. Are the schools welcoming you? Because, you know, we talk a lot about not sex trafficking, but social media and bullying. Bullying is hot. We talk a lot about bullying. Are the schools welcoming you in, or are kids getting this young enough? Because if you know what it is, you see it and it's, oh, I should tell somebody. Is it out there, or is it still hard to get into schools to talk to?
I guess I answer it this way. It's getting easier. We don't really take the message of sex trafficking into the schools. We think that's just a little heavy for even the teenagers. But we take it from a respecting her approach, the pixel. That's what we go. We say, look, these are young minds. They can't process but so much. But help them see that there's a connection between what they're saying, and just like the video. Help them see that connection. I'm going to tell you, it's been incredible hearing these young men acknowledge what they do and acknowledging that they just didn't see it that way, they didn't realize. And then third, acknowledging, you know what, I'm going to not do that anymore. It has been moving. We've talked to 331 boys thus far. Most have been in Richardson Independent School District. The entire district presented to their athletic director, because we started with going to high school football programs. Boys in high school football in North Texas, you get them to change their mindset, the school changes. Would that be fair? This is North Texas. This is football. If those guys who, whether they like it or not, are leaders in the school, if you can convince them, the rest can follow and you can build on it. And so we've done one private school, one public school. We piloted it, Parish Episcopal and Hillcrest. And then we rolled it out. So this spring, we're hoping that we can get into every school. We need help with contacts to get into some of the schools to talk to. We start with athletic directors or coaches. And that's been our approach. We stayed with high school because we're new. We're new men at this. And we know we need to go to elementary. We need to go a little earlier. But we're not seasoned enough. We're too new to it. And we didn't want to go to that level. As I joke about it, we can screw up the minds of teenagers. They're already there, but we can't do it to the elementary age. Yes.
So, and I'm very naive to this, clearly.
Most of us are.
Are the victims in most cases physically taken from these homes? Or are there any situations like the daughter of the doctor and the anesthesiologist where they're working from home, living at home?
Yeah, sure. I'll give you several scenarios. I won't go long, and I'm just the ways it can happen. Yes, they can be taken from a mall. Just finished the case. You may have seen it in the news. We worked with the agent that handled the case. It got sentenced to 40 years of trafficking just last week. Talked to him this weekend. He was the one, in fact, that presented with me one of the high schools. He took a girl from El Paso, brought her here at age 17. I saw the pictures. had three gashes in her head because he had beaten her with a candlestick holder. She was taken, but he got 40 years for that. Still remember his name, Silverberg. He'll serve 40 years. Others, just inside the home, low self-esteem, and they voluntarily go out, but can't get back in. Not necessarily taken either. Go back to their home and everything looks normal. But he is saying, okay, I need you now. You got to get out the house, come up, whatever. And you got to find a way to keep it from your parents, or I'm going to tell it to your parents. There, all sorts of scenarios, all sorts. It's not only taken. They're doing it. Had one case where the brother was trafficking his sister. Had the boys come on over to the house while the parents were still at work, servicing them upstairs. True story. All sorts of scenarios. Every way you can think of it, it happens. Some more than others, of course. But it happens.
We've talked a lot about kids being sucked into the trafficking. Adults as well, right? So there are, mm-hmm. I'm guessing, industries that lead into this, and strip clubs and things like that. Is that?
That's absolutely correct.
Is there training that's involved at those institutions, or are they?
Well, those institutions don't want you to come in and do any training, but there are different. It's a fair question, because there are some organizations that go there and they have the right to stand outside the properties and hand out it. And so they do that. Right. They try to do it. But, you know, I've been to a strip club, been to it twice. I was 25 first when I came out here, country boy from Southern Virginia, and 28. Still remember. I had a good time, thought that it was cool. I did it. Okay? I did it. Everybody was smiling, laughing. Looked like everybody was having a good time. But then 3 years ago, I learned that, wait a minute, she was happy because her pimp was over there saying, you better make my $1,000 that you owe me for the day. And if you don't make it, I'm going to beat you, and you're going to have sex with some more. But I didn't know that then, but I know it now. Now, it's been almost 30 years since I've been in one, but I haven't and don't have any plans. But I know I won't do it now that I understand. And it just takes the education, the understanding. It's not, we don't have time for the guilt to look back. We can't do anything about that. It's now you know, you can unknow what you're going to do. You can do a little better. You can help somebody else do better. But those places, there are other organizations that do that. We have that niche. We say, let us get you to having the life the Lord designed for you. Let us help you get there. There are a lot of others that do some different things, but that's our niche. And then for the men, it is, how can we prevent this? How can we affect this demand? Let's talk to men and talk to boys.
So stick around after you ask Bill any questions. Bill, one last thing. If you want to learn more about this, what's the best way to do that? Is it go on your website? Is there a book or article you suggest?
Thank you so much. Ours is easy to remember. New Friends, New Life. You can say it, it's a mouthful, but it rolls. .org. It's all one word, New Friends, New Life. All one word, .org. And there are a lot of things on the website, including how to contact me or anyone else. And it doesn't have to be me. It's going to be a girl, though. It's going to be, if it's not me.
Bill, thank you for your time.
Thank you all.